While the death and disease threats from COVID-19 during the pandemic period are huge, the devastation to the global and local economies is also enormous. And there's plenty of research to inform what the effects will be on health, well-being, and even life expectancy. And you won't be shocked to hear that these effects won't be evenly shared across the community. Some people will come off worse than others. Much of that research in recent years has been led by Professor Sir Michael Marmot at University College London. But before we get to that, according to Michael Marmot, there are already signs that the pandemic itself is amplifying disparities.
I think we're seeing a marked change. When the epidemic struck, princes and paupers alike were susceptible. The Prince of Wales, the Prime Minister in the UK, Tom Hanks, the actor, got COVID-19. Then the next phase with lockdown exposed the sharp divisions in society. Those who could work from home and those who couldn't. Those who had reserves of income or wealth and those who couldn't afford to eat. Those in a good position to home educate their children when the schools closed, and those who were not, those in comfortable housing, and those in overcrowded conditions. And all of those fault lines will increase risk of exposure, risk of severe illness, and risk of social and economic consequences as a result of responses in those lower down the hierarchy. So it's likely that not only will we see underlying social inequalities in health exposed, they will be amplified by the pandemic.
And on top of that, claims Michael Marmot, are the profound health effects of an economic depression.
In the early stages of an economic depression, somewhat counterintuitively, total mortality does not seem to rise. You get a rise in suicides. You get a rise in mental illness, but the rise in suicide deaths is set against a drop in mortality from traffic crashes, for example. People are not driving around, they don't take the car out. So in the initial stages, but as it goes on, we're looking at all sorts of deep effects. And last week, the IMF put out a prediction that the global economy would shrink by just over 3% this year. A year after the financial crash, the global economy shrank by 0.1%. And think of the damage that did. So a 3% drop in the global economy, and I think that may well be optimistic, that will affect all the key social determinants of health. Only 2 months ago, I published Health Equity in England, the Marmot Review, 10 years on, and we pointed to the fact that life expectancy had not increased and health inequalities had increased, and life expectancy for women, particularly in the poorest areas of England, had gone down. And it was likely that that was linked to austerity. And I went through the key determinants of health: early child development, education, employment and working conditions, number four, having enough money to live on, and number five, environments, including housing. And things got worse for all of those five. Things are likely to get much worse for all of those five come a global recession consequent upon the pandemic. And that means we are facing the prospect of significant worsening of health inequalities. And that's really frightening.
The biggest risk, according to Michael Marmot, is how governments deal with economic recovery and the debt they've incurred.
There's an important lesson to learn. What the British government did in 2010, faced with large debt and deficit, said, we must have austerity. There is no alternative. And it did great damage. Now, 10 years later, faced with the pandemic, they threw all that so-called orthodoxy out the window and said, whatever it takes. And it's right that they did that. As we emerge from the pandemic, whatever you do, don't go back to a fetish about debt and deficit. Go forward to an important question. What kind of society do we want? In the US, from around 1999, white men and women, middle age, have had an increase in so-called deaths of despair. Poisonings due to opioids, largely, suicide and alcohol-related problems. We've been largely spared that. We might see more of it with a global recession, and that would be extremely worrying. In 2010, the UK was facing an annual deficit, 11 or 12% of GDP, and that was thought to be unsustainable. So the government did two things. It rolled back the state. It reduced public expenditure from 42% of GDP to 35%. And the second thing it did was to be remarkably regressive. It cut more from the poor than it did from the rich. And it didn't work. If you look at the growth of incomes for employed people between 2007 and 2017, it was minus 5%. And the cuts to services. We cut public expenditure. We made poorer people worse off. And we made health inequalities worse. So we've got a clear message. Don't do that. That's very bad for society. Don't do that. So then you ask, well, what's the alternative? The alternative is, faced with debt, spend more. What? Spend more? How can you be saying that? Do you know what the interest rate on debt is? Make the health and well-being of your population a priority. And as the economy recovers, then you reduce the debt and the deficit, not when the country is depressed and you're going to make people worse off. The notion is to improve the lives people are able to lead. That's what we want to do. Because if we do that, health will improve and health inequalities will diminish. Now, that should be the priority. And if that means tolerating debt and deficit when the interest rates are close to zero, then we tolerate it. And as the economy recovers, then we do something about the debt and the deficit. And that's what this crisis has shown us. Faced with a crisis, you can rank up all the debts you like. Well, I would say that the underlying health inequalities in our society also represents a crisis. The problem is we just don't see it as that.
Professor Sir Michael Marmot is Director of the Institute of Health Equity at the University College London. And you're listening to RN's Health Report with me, Norman Swan.